The house of pain is in effect, y'all. I say the house of pain is in effect. You know the house of pain is in effect, y'all. And anyone that steps up is getting wrecked. So, Chris Barron, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Do you feel that the SCE at any point was the House of Pain?
From time to time, most definitely.
And you said it was you, Fido, and who?
Bub.
And
Dave Bub.
Dave Bub. All right, so where are you this moment?
I am in Roseville, California, which is a northern suburb of Sacramento, about 30 miles north or so.
Okay. And what year did you start Ball State, and what was the pledge class, spring or fall?
I started Ball State in 88, and I pledged in spring of 89.
Okay. So where were you born, and what was the date, year, month, and where was it?
I was born in Indianapolis. And I was born September 14th, 1969.
And what did your parents do?
My dad was in purchasing for Ford Motor Company, and my mom was really just a stay-at-home mom.
Okay. So grade school, high school?
I went to Center Grove Schools down in Greenwood, Indiana, pretty much all the way through.
All right. And what was the reason, or actually, what activities did you get involved with sports and community-wise in high school?
In high school, I played tennis, played basketball, and I played baseball. Now, not every year, but tennis was the constant all the way through.
Okay. Then at Ball State, what things, positions did you have with the house? Things you did involved in campus or sports?
Sure. At the house, I was a pledge trainer for the pledge class right after mine. I held, I think, the recorder position, vice president position, and then my last full year, that bonus year, fifth year, Dave Bubb and I were co-social chairmen.
So you guys just both wanted to have the title and party? Is that you both
right,
wanted to go to the sororities?
Right, that's right. Well,
you're
know,
like,
hey, Fido,
we can go to the sororities together.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, Fedowitz was the president, and so, of course, the other two roommates had to be social chairman, so.
Sounds like an inside job. All right, so when you got to Ball State, what was the motivation, what was the connect to go to Ball State?
Well, truthfully, it was the only place I could get in. I always intended to go to IU, but I was not a great high school student. And Ball State had started a program called Project Start, and it just so happened that it started in the summer of 88. And so when I graduated, I had already applied. They actually took me conditionally, but said that I needed to start that summer. So literally, I think it was 2 weeks after graduation from high school, I went to Ball State and lived in the dorms. There were several people selected from Center Grove High School that I attended. And you had to take two classes during a summer quarter because that was the last summer that they were on the quarter system. They went to semesters beginning the fall of 88. But so I had to take two classes of my choosing, and you had to have a C average or above. And if you did that, then you got in the fall unconditionally. And, you know, like I mentioned, I was a terrible high school student, really never – I just didn't do much. And so I did really well. I think I got an A and a B in my summer classes and got in the fall. And, you know, the rest is history.
I did the same thing.
Did you really?
Yes. And my class, there was an English and then a speech. And the guy sitting next to me in the speech, the very first day, we had to interview the person next to us and get up and speak about him, and he was an SAE, and that was my first connect, that summer class, that situation. That's it was Mark Schuler. Do you remember Mark Schuler by chance?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
It was him.
Oh, heck yeah. I knew Schuler very well.
Yeah, he's the reason. That's funny. So when you got to Ball State, who was the first SAEs that you were connected with?
Well, you know, funny enough is that I didn't really meet any SAEs at all until I went home for winter break for the holidays in December of 88. And my father always got me on. I mentioned he worked for Ford. He was in purchasing, and there used to be a plant on English Avenue on the southeast side of Indianapolis. And it was the power steering plant, and they would hire a lot of the employees' kids to come work during their breaks through Manpower, the temp agency. Yeah, so I go to work over the 2 weeks, and I'd never met my dad's boss or his kids. Well, it turns out that it was Mike and Pat Myers, and they were both SAEs at Ball State. And they were, one was a junior, one was a senior, and of course I was a freshman. And what we were doing there, where we were just basically doing QC on shafts. And so we were taking just and threading in a bolt and threading it out and making sure that it, everything was good with the threads. And that's all we did. So we had a lot of time to sit there and talk. And they invited me to a party when we got back to school, because I told them I was going to rush. And they said, "Hey man, the first Thursday back, we want you to come to the house." And I did. And it was insane. That's all I can tell you. It was the craziest thing, craziest party I'd ever been to.
And Beta Gamma?
Yeah.
Beta Gamma. So pledge trainers.
They were, Tim Leniger and Randy Bookness.
Okay. Number in your class.
Initially, I think it was around 30. And I think we ended up with just under 20. Had a lot of people drop. I mean, pledge ship back in those days wasn't what it was now, of course. And it was very time consuming, and it was, it could be pretty brutal. So
who would you say would be the number one and number two funniest actives when you were a pledge?
Oh, geez. Let's see. Funniest. I would maybe say they were funny, but also scary. But it was David Jacks and Jeff Huff. Now, they were the only two guys, honestly. We had a huge house back then. With my pledge class included, we had close to 150 members.
150?
And
150.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, oh yeah. Now, you got to remember, that was not, some of those guys had, they had deactivated for their last year, or, and again, my pledge class had some people drop, and you always lost people every year. I know it was the same way for you when you were there. But at the time, we were by far and away the biggest house. But those two guys were just, they were hilarious. They lived in the, what was it, a three man in the front of the house, right above the main door.
Yeah.
And, like I say, they were hilarious, but they were also the only guys that intimidated me when I was a pledge anyway. And so those two guys just always resonate with me. I've seen both of them in the last 4 years, actually, for the first time since graduation.
That's great. Did you go on walkout? Did you guys go to any other universities with pledge class?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went on multiple. I went to, let's see, we went to Illinois State. I went to, my gosh, Ohio State, I want to say. And I think those were the two that I went to. There may have been one other, but those are the two that I remember, especially the Illinois State one was a blast.
So give me some specifics. What are one or two funny things, crazy things, whatever things that happened on walkout? Any of the walkouts?
I mean, just, the fact that, again, what we would, I don't know how they were when you were there, but I mean, they'd always usually rent like a big van or like a small bus, and they'd have a keg on it. And they'd try to make arrangements, but back then it wasn't easy to communicate with the other chapters like it would be now, I would suppose. And we'd just show up at their doorstep, and, we just usually everything went fine. And we hung out, went to parties, and it was always a lot of fun, but it was more of like the unknown. It was just kind of an adventure. You never knew who you were going to run into. The guys at the other chapters were generally speaking very accepting and cool, and always met a lot of cool girls, from other sororities, and just girls from campus. And it was just always a really good time.
Okay, so what's some funny things or crazy things you remember happening at the house that wasn't during a party, that was just guys hanging out? What were some moments of bonding? Stuff maybe happened, in any of the three houses, of course, that you can recall.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can remember we had an ice storm one time, and it knocked out all the power. And of course, that was one of the few times in the 5 years that I was on campus that you know, classes were actually canceled. And I remember, you know, we were living so close to Muncie Liquors down on the corner there that, you know, we walked down and grabbed a keg and brought it back and just had everybody in the house was there. A lot of the brothers that were nearby in their own, you know, houses that they rented came over, and it was just a great bonding time. It was nothing real crazy happened that I recall, but it was just one of those times that always stuck out to me that, you know, that I always remember, of just everybody sitting around and, you know, we were all bundled up because there was no heat or anything, and just hung out and drank, you know, pretty much all day.
Now, what's some things that happened with you and Fido and
Can I don't think I could legally talk about some of the things that we experienced. No, you know, some of the things that stick out is kind of, Tom, is just he's still my best friend to this day, probably one of my three closest friends. We always still try to see each other, but probably one of the coolest things that we ever did. I mean, we were, myself, him, and David Bubb were kind of known as the Three Musketeers. We were really inseparable the last 3 years that we were in the house. And for my 22nd birthday, we decided we would just go to Florida State. And we hopped in my Mustang, and we just went on a Thursday and just drove all the way down there, hadn't talked to anybody at the Florida State SAE house. And we get down there, and the freaking house has been, like, they're on suspension and the house is closed. No one's even living there. So we drove all this way, and, you know, and we can't even go to the house. But we somehow got a hold of a couple numbers of some of the executive council, and we ended up going to their condo and hanging out with them. And they took us to a Florida State, Georgia Tech game. And we went to a bunch of off-campus parties at different apartments. And, you know, there was things that happened that I wouldn't go into, but it was a lot. I mean, it's one of the most memorable times I have, like, away, just being away from the house, but still being with some guys that, you know, I still consider dear friends to this day.
All right, what about sweethearts? Who are some of the sweethearts you remember?
The first one I remember is Cindy. I don't know what her last name would be now. She was married to Jerry McManamall for a number of years. That was his high school sweetheart. I know they're no longer together, but she was the one when I came into the house. And then the one that, like, resonates the most with me, or really two, is really LZ, you know, Laura Zimmerman. She's just an awesome, awesome person. And I believe Denise Reedy as well, Eric's wife, was also a sweetheart. But LZ was the one that I was definitely closest to, and that, you know, just is still keep in touch with her to this day, you know, more through just, you know, social media. But she was a great sweetheart. And it was unusual because she wasn't, you know, I know this happens more nowadays from having a son that just graduated and was an SAE. But, like, you know, she wasn't a girlfriend of a brother. You know, that was what I thought was great.
Right. So let's talk about your son. What pledge class is he in, and what years?
Jeez, man, you know, I don't even know what pledge class he was. Isn't that terrible? As much as I was there, up there with him all the time, but he was there. So he started at Ball State in the fall of 2016, and then, unfortunately, sort of unofficially, did graduate during COVID. I mean, last year in the spring. So, you know, but like I say, so he pledged in the fall right off the bat. Did not anticipate him being an SAE, truthfully. We didn't even talk about it. I just said, do whatever, you know, I didn't know much about the house at this point. I knew that they had went through some turbulent times and had a lot of people suspended. And at one point in time, they were down to somewhere around, you know, the teens or low 20s. And I didn't know if they had rebounded or not. And all the, his friends from high school were all I think it was Theta Chi that moved into the D Chi house. That kind of became the really big chapter on campus. So I just presume that's what he'd do. And lo and behold, he hooked up with Eric Reedy's son, Caleb, who left the school after 1 year. But Eric was really pushing him to go to the SAE house, and he followed along, and he absolutely loved it, and, you know, and just ended up, you know, joining and getting very involved in all the years he was there.
So what's some of the things you were able to do with him when you went back to visit?
Well, it was, you know, they do things a lot different now. I'm sure that, you know, you may or may not know, you know, obviously they don't have a true pledge ship anymore because of all the things that have happened in the last, you know, 15 years with SAE nationally. And so they kind of do things backwards. So you get initiated that for pledge night. I mean, basically that pledge night. And so you learn a lot of stuff, but you know nothing about any of it, which is really weird to me. But I did get invited, to go up and be part of the, you know, the ceremony, which was pretty cool, you know, to participate in. And, you know, that was pretty neat. And then of course, you know, everything else was, they did do, we never did dad's days back then, but you know, they did them and they did family weekends. So we went to all those, we did the chili cook-offs. We always went back for homecoming and any events that they had, we, you know, my wife and I were very supportive, you know, of that because of, you know, she spent a fair amount of time at the house as well. And so she's, you know, very, very, acutely aware of what SAE meant to me and how important it was to him.
Okay. So what, just this project in general, like you being able to listen to some of the other guys and just that concept being open for everybody, like what do you think of it? And what are maybe some things that you'd like to hear, some guys you'd like to hear from yourself?
I'm sorry, could you restate that?
Well, first off, your thoughts about this being a thing that we all can access, each other's saying what they're doing now and stories from the past. What do you think about that, and who would be some of the guys you'd like to hear?
Oh, yeah. When I think about that, I mean, this has been awesome. I've listened to pretty much all of them so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really have. I really enjoyed them. Once Fido got to me and told me about, you know, that he was going to try to set it up so some of us could do it. You know, I mean, I'd love to hear from, you know, just some of my other pledge brothers or even my pledge trainer. Either one of them. I mean, Tim or Randy. I know Tim's pretty tough to get a hold of, but he was really, really involved in the house and just a wonderful guy. He was fantastic pledge trainer. But, you know, of course, my good friend, you know, and brother Dave Bubb. I mean, you know, I know what he's kind of up to, but I'm sure he's got some really, really good stories. And there's guys like, you know, Mick Sambor and Mike Reason, Dave Bilby, Ryan Pratt. You know, Tom Chmielewski, those guys were all my really close friends and they pledged the pledge class after me and their pledge trainer was removed, for some disciplinary reasons. And then I took over and it was kind of cool that I was their pledge trainer because we were all renting a house together at the time. So.
Okay. So is there any stories you think, because we're getting close to the moment of closure here and then we could jump around. With some, you know, House of Pain, but is there any ones that you want to just tell that were just epic moments or really cool bonding moments or brothers being there for brothers or just something happened with another house? Because people have gotten pretty detailed and you shouldn't be shy, I guess is my point. And you can leave names out. Think of this. You can leave names out, but if there's any epic situations you want to be like, this happened and it should be told, here's your moment.
Let's see here. Yeah, I guess there would be one story that, you know, one of my closest pledge brothers and closest friends to this day, whose name I will not mention. When we were pledges, we always had to do security, which was pretty common, I think, to this day. And at that time, there were several access points into the house for parties, back by the garage, the front door, and then into the new house. And this guy was on duty, I believe, on the front porch. And there was a small group of guys that came to the front porch and wanted to come in, and they weren't on the list. And, of course, they didn't have any girls with them. So, you know, we were like, I guess they told them, hey, you know, sorry, but we can't let you in. They couldn't really even provide any names of anybody they knew. And one of them got really, really lippy. And it turns out that unfortunately, he was missing an arm, and this brother proceeded to, I just saw him get knocked off the porch by a punch by probably 4 feet off before he hit the deck. And let's just say that the I don't think the guy was feeling too well for a few weeks. And so that was just it, you know, it just the whole scene of it, seeing it through the window, was just crazy. I mean, you know, in this day and age, I'm sure it would never, well, it probably would happen still, but it was just at the time, it's a legendary story, and anybody who was around the house at that time will be able to figure out who it was, because everybody knew the story. It's something that still comes up to this day when we get together.
That's pretty hilarious. That's it's you know, it just kind of proves the point that if you're an asshole, no matter what's going on with you, somebody might not take it.
No, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, you know, it wasn't anything to do with anything else other than the guy was being an asshole and wouldn't leave. And, you know, and it was time. And there was no better person than this individual to take care of it. Because once he gets that crazy look in his eyes, it's on. So
that's awesome. All right. Well, is there anything you'd give advice to younger guys, what to get out of it, and also the benefits after school of being an alum and an SAE?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I told guys this, you know, when I came, I probably came back for the first 5 years after I graduated pretty regularly, not like every weekend, but for homecoming. I also traveled through the area a lot for work. Ball State was one of my accounts, and I would drive by, and I just told them all, like, you know, soak it all in, take advantage of every opportunity, because it goes so fast. I mean, life goes fast. We know that now at our age. And at that point in time, you can't tell anybody anything. But the one thing my son says is, yeah, man, I wish, you know, you don't want to look back and go, I wish I would have did this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have, you know, been more involved, been more engaged, taken a position, you know, that type of thing. And I mean, and later in life, it pays off. I mean, see it through. And I mean, I've gotten jobs because of, you know, the hiring person, not just being an SAE, but I've had, you know, bosses that were just in another fraternity, and it was just one little common thread that kind of kicked open the door and started a relationship where it benefited, you know, me and hopefully them at the time. And so, you know, I mean, you just never know, you know, who you might come across that was a, you know, a brother from another chapter, or again, just involved in the Greek system, because I feel like it's a shrinking system, and it's never been huge at Ball State to begin with. But, you know, with all the liability stuff these days and all the horror stories and too many kids filming everything, it's, you know, it's a little different nowadays. But,
yeah,
you know, like I say, I just, you know, I always joke that I'd still be there if I could.
How are you looking?
It meant that much to me. I cannot say enough good things. I regret one thing, and that was my fifth year. I was still living in the house, and I really didn't get to know the pledges. I was kind of an ass myself because I was just kind of over it, I think. And I had met my wife and was commuting back and forth to Indy, and it's one of those things where I skipped, you know, Patty Murphy and things my last year, and I totally regret it. So I just say, man, do it all, because you'll regret it if you don't.
That's awesome. So are you looking forward to hearing your sons tell his
for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's things that I don't want to know, but nah, he was really involved and had a lot of fun. And it's stressful when you get, you know, to that executive level, because your butt's on the line nowadays,
right?
A little different than, you know, so that's a lot of responsibility and a lot of stress. But yeah, I am looking forward to hearing him. I mean, he's you know, he's doing great things out here, and I'm excited.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be cool to also hear some of his other guys that have recently graduated from having to go through COVID and their whole four-year experience.
Right.
I'm sure he can help kind of connect us with those guys. But and what's his name? What's your son's name?
Alex.
All right.
Yep.
Well, listen, thank you, Phi Alpha. And, you know, I guess we could still do a little bit of the hold on, hold please, wait for it. Is it going to happen? And boom, and yes, going out with it. jump around. Hey, this goes out to Fido. Let me begin. I can go win. That's a sin. All right. And thanking Fido because he stepped up, and I think it's really cool. There's already been some other guys that are sponsoring other brothers to do these, and I think it's a cool way to pay it forward, and you'll also be able to kind of do the same thing. So anyway, Fly Alpha, thank you for the time, and just stay on the line.
Bye, Alpha. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
You got it.